We're on air.
Are we on air?
We're on air.
We're on air. So how are you doing? I feel like it's been 2 weeks since I've talked to you.
Does it feel like 2 weeks?
No, actually, I talked to you this afternoon.
Oh.
Well, actually, this is funny. My wife went to an event, and you were there. It was like a dance party. She was like, do you want to go to a dance party? And I was like, no. And she told me, she goes, oh, everybody's like, oh, where's Travis? And she goes, oh, he misses you guys. He misses you guys, but he couldn't make it. And everybody goes, oh, and my wife says, oh, and then Los goes, no, he doesn't miss you. He doesn't miss you, but it's okay.
But it's okay.
He'll see you next time. I'm like, Los gets me. He gets it. That's so funny. How are you?
I'm good.
You're wearing a dev tip shirt.
Yeah, I like this blue color.
It looks really royal.
It looks so royal.
So royal, bro.
Royal.
I love that song.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like it. It looks great. I feel like Superman. Superman wears his royal blue.
Yeah.
And I had this zip-up shirt today, and I was longboarding, and I got really hot this morning. I zipped it down. I was like, whoo.
And it was flying behind you?
It's flying behind
me. Where were you longboarding?
From my house to the train station.
Nice. You're like a cool guy.
I am a cool guy. Look at this hair.
Look at this hair.
Peacock.
Oh, man. I bet you're so excited to hear what our topic is tonight.
I am extremely excited because I'm the audience.
It's fun.
Don't put me on the spot.
Yeah, no. That, like you did for me last week. So it's fun to be the audience because...
I was just paying you back because you did that to me.
You did it to me both times. The problem with the first one was that you were just too interesting. I had content prepared. Your life story was just better, and it superseded what I had prepared.
Ah, cool.
But we're just going to leave that out in the ether. Maybe we'll return to it one day, but not today either.
Okay.
Yeah. So today I want to talk about the question. Actually, I want to start with a story. I was talking to my daughter today. Mm. And I was thinking about the things that we're going to talk about today.
Right.
And I said to her, and maybe from this conversation you can kind of guess at what the topic is, but I said to her, how do you work?
You asked her, how do you work?
How do you work?
How do you work?
Mm-hmm. And she goes, sometimes I do work with glue. I said, well, what do you do if you don't want to work?
Yeah.
She goes, oh, I always want to.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm starting her off right.
Yeah, that's good.
What if it's hard? I said to her. Yeah. She goes, I just do it.
Yeah. Well, she shows up.
And I go, yeah, hey girl. And then I give me a high five. It's perfect answering.
Yeah.
And it's a great conversation I had that kind of like got me pumped up for what I want to talk about tonight. Yeah. The question that I have on my mind is, what do you do when you're not inspired for the work that you have to get done?
For the work that you have to get done.
Yeah. You've made a commitment. I want to get something done. I want to do this work. But it's like 7 o'clock. You just had dinner. They just released Daredevil on Netflix.
Don't eat dinner.
I could just totally marathon that.
Just don't eat dinner and don't subscribe to Netflix.
There you go. Problem solved. We're done with this. We're done with this podcast. Let's go get a hamburger.
We should. Ooh, I want an In-N-Out right now.
You want In-N-Out? I love In-N-Out. Everybody who can hear this, who knows what In-N-Out is, understands what you just said. Yes. Everybody who doesn't is like,
what is it?
In-N-Out is like, how would you describe In-N-Out? It's the California version of awesome hamburgers.
Yeah.
But they're just like disposable hamburgers. They're not like awesome. Like they're not like gourmet or anything.
No, what's awesome is
they're the California version of White Castle.
That's exactly what that is.
Yeah. Let's go get some California White Castle. Oh, you're talking about In-N-Out. Let's go get some In-N-Out.
That's good cuz I grew up with White Castle.
Oh, did you? Oh, yeah, on the east side.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about it. I just have a quick jotted 5 points down what to do when you're not inspired by the work that you have to do. Actually, I have a really good quote here. One of my personal heroes for a very long time, a teacher, a mentor, a inspirational person by the name of Todd Henry. He says, we don't have the luxury of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love this guy.
Yeah.
He just punches you in the face with truth, and you don't want to hear it, but he's relentless. We don't have the luxury of inspiration. Inspiration is a nice companion on your journey to brilliance, but it is not a necessary companion in the beginning of that journey. Inspiration tends to join you when you are already on your way, says Todd Henry.
Okay.
So what do you do?
Here's
go for it, and then I'll give you one, and then you can.
So this happens to me a lot with my freelance work, because it's at the end of the day, I'm tired, or it's my own project, or what have you. And what has helped me, and this happened to me 2 days ago, was I've been putting off work for like 3 days.
Yikes!
On it, and I'm just like, I just have to do it.
Granted, isn't it crazy how it builds?
Yeah, it just builds.
It becomes like heavier too.
Yeah, it becomes heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was, okay, I'm going to imagine me doing this work in my head.
Mm.
I'm imagining what it is that I need to do. And for this case, I had to make some revisions to a logo.
Mm-hmm.
And I started just using my imagination and envisioning me on the computer making these changes. And I made these changes in my head of what I needed to do. And I said, okay, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Now I'm just going to go replay that in real life.
I like how it wasn't like, oh, I'm thinking about the change that I need to make.
No,
you were thinking about yourself doing the work. It wasn't even about being inspired about the work. It wasn't. So revisions are not necessarily inspirational driven, right? They're just like, I need to make incremental changes to make it better.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like just, I need to plug in the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're like, I want to envision me doing work. That's great. That's such a great tip. Okay. So here are just a few, and these are not all, it's not an exhaustive list, of course. This is not the only list, and some of these are maybe just horrible ideas, but here are a few that I wrote down.
All right.
Okay. So the first one is you sit down and you have this project and you just don't know where to start. It's gotten heavy because it's been a few days and and then you're a pirate all of a sudden, and you can't type with your hook on your hand, and you can't see the monitor because you have a patch on your eye. All of this parrot on your shoulder won't shut up.
It just sucks.
You try to go get a drink, but your peg leg gets stuck. Okay, break it down is the first tip. Break it down.
Not slow it down.
Not slow it down. Break it down. Okay, break it down is the tip. So here's how you do that. Make a list of all the small parts of the project.
Excuse me.
I don't know. Is that an agreement?
No, I was going to talk and I had a little bit of stuff caught in my
throat.
Why make a list of the small things? Is it better than making a list of the big things?
Well, you know what the big thing is? It's the project.
Okay.
You're like, my deliverable is this logo.
Okay. So you break it down into...
Yeah. So the thing is, when you're looking at this, all you see is this big mammoth thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just a human. How do you even approach this big mammoth task? In fact, I have a quote from Anthony Trollope, who's a 19th century author. He says, a small daily task will beat the labor of a spasmodic Hercules.
Oh, yeah.
Spasmodic Hercules. How do you like that? I like saying the word spasmodic. Spasmodic.
Hey, yo,
You say it.
Hey, yo, spasmodic.
Yo, spasmodic.
Hey, yo, spasmodic.
Spasmodic. That's what it reminds me of. This like Midwestern like old lady.
Spasmodic. She's like, Hercules.
Spasmodic. Oi.
Oi.
Freund Leben. Spasmodic Hercules. So a Hercules who can do anything. He's ultra human. He's a demigod. He can lift mountains.
Mm-hmm.
But he's spasmodic. He's like inconsistent.
But then you have the
small daily task.
The small daily task of a common man.
Mm-hmm. Well, why is that true? What's your take?
I'm trying to recall this guy that...
Total Recall.
There's this guy. I don't know where. I just read it in the news within the last month. And what he did was he built this amazing underground botanical garden.
Mm.
It took him 20 years.
Okay.
And it was just him.
Just one person.
Just one person mm-hmm. digging this hole.
Digging a hole.
That's all he did for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's amazing. And people are like, people love it.
Yeah.
I'll look for it.
That's wild.
Try to link help.
That reminds me of a friend, a roommate that I had for a while, who spent his entire childhood digging his basement.
I'm surprised. Right
entire childhood.
I don't understand. I mean,
let me kind of revisit that idea. Yeah, yeah. So it's not like that. So it's like so like when he was like you know in his adolescence.
Why,
like,
wait, why would he? Why is no.
Let me frame this better. Okay, it was not like this child labor and he never came outside or anything.
I had a friend who never came out to play. He
just dug basement. Not even a lot of basements. Just one basement.
Hey Frank,
it was a really deep basement.
Can I go play? No. Are you done digging?
Are you done digging? So here's the real story. He like when he was you know whatever age, maybe like between 8 and 13, he was conscripted by his father to dig his basement. And he said, it was just a normal thing for me. I would wake up in the morning, brush my teeth, eat my breakfast cereal, like load up the wheelbarrow with dirt, take it outside, you know, dump just a few wheelbarrows and catch the bus to school.
All right.
And then by the time he was 18, they had a new basement. And I was like, number one, that took a while. Number two, you did it all yourself. And he's like, yeah, every now and then he'd help, but it was pretty much my thing. I dug the basement. I'm like, that's just amazing.
What an awesome thing for
He was Danish. I don't know if that...
I don't know what that means, but what an awesome... Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the What's Danes cool are like really... That... They really love basements.
What's cool is that...
Not that they have great work ethics, but they just love freaking basements. Sorry if you're Danish.
Danish. Every child of Danish is like, yeah.
We dig basements all the time. That's what we do. We are Danish. We dig basements. You didn't know that they were known for that? Basement digging?
I have no clue. Basement digging.
Why would somebody be known for that?
That's like the most random thing. I've been seeing these memes lately that are like, this is what my country has contributed to the world. Have you seen those?
Oh, okay. I think so, but I don't... Like
Greece,
I just
Greece, Turkey, Germany, they all...
But like, I scroll right past them, but I have seen them, yeah.
Everyone's posted one.
The Danes are like, we dig basements.
That's it. what cool though is that his dad gave him this project. It wasn't like it gets done when it gets done, but just having this project for the son to just every day do something that was
mm-hmm.
his
mm-hmm.
and then he accomplished it. Like imagine him interviewing for a job and he gets asked, tell me about a major accomplishment. Tell me about a major.
I just snorted. He's like, I dig my basement.
Tell me about a major accomplishment that you're proud of.
Yeah.
So I dug a giant hole.
Wait,
what?
I dug a giant hole for years.
For years. I dug a hole for 5-6 years.
That's crazy. It's crazy. So, okay, so that's the tip. Breaking it down. Small bites will eventually finish the meal, right? Mm. So the concrete advice based on this tip is do anything you can to move the ball on your project every day. Like you said, you didn't do it for a few days and it became heavier and heavier. Mm-hmm. Just use, I don't want to get into another tip there, but like do it every day, mm-hmm. right? Even a little bit. If you only have 10 minutes, move the ball 10 minutes worth. And don't end your day without having any solid progress on your work.
Mm.
And if that means go to bed because it's freelance work, or if that means like turn the lights off and go home from the office, like don't get stuck in meetings all day and actually produce nothing.
Yeah.
You know, don't get lost looking at memes on Imgur and then actually producing nothing. Make sure you move the ball. It's okay to look at Imgur. I do it all the time.
Yeah. And this applies to professional work for a salary job or an hourly job, but it also applies to your personal project.
Yeah.
It also applies to your learning, right?
Indeed.
You progress forward. Like when you're learning something, just progress forward and move that ball forward and just continue learning,
mm-hmm.
continue creating, continue producing.
Yeah. I mean, because when you're cool. when you learn something new, or when you make a new idea, or you have that inspiration, you're at the height of your emotion, right?
Right.
You're willing to make commitments. I'm going to make a newsletter. You know what? It's getting really freaking hard to write that newsletter now. Did you know that? Did I tell you this yet?
No, you didn't tell me it was hard.
It's getting harder. It is. And I made the commitment to write this newsletter at the height of my emotion about it. You know, like, I love these people. I want to give them more. I want to connect with them more. 500 people have, 500 plus now, have signed up.
Yeah.
And I'm like so excited about that. But it's getting harder and harder every week to think of something that I feel is original and valuable and worthwhile. Mm. And, because what I'm trying to say is that you usually commit to things when your emotions are high,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a good idea. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But after that emotional rush, after that commitment phase is gone, you still are stuck with this commitment. And the only way that that's not going to be a drag is to make it a part of your everyday existence, mm-hmm. right? So like this week's letter, it goes out tomorrow morning.
Right.
It's already written.
Nice.
It's good.
It's good. Good move.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. It's a good one, I think. Mm. Let's move on to number two. Okay. So this one is called Rely on Your Preparation. What is your face doing? You look like a baby who just got like a drop of water on his face.
I'm just thinking like, of...
What's going on? What is that thing?
I'm just thinking of, do I prepare?
Rely on your preparation. So I have this thing I've been working on.
So to rely, you have to prepare first.
It's implied. it's implicit in this point. Okay. So I have this thing that I've been working on called day work and night work. Have I talked to you about it?
You mentioned it once, but tell me.
Okay. So there's two kinds of creative sessions. Day work is the session where you're collecting things, you're organizing your files, you're gaining inspiration, you're doing your research, you're doing this kind of, stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take a lot of flow,
mm-hmm.
but it takes a lot of, it's the preparatory work, mm-hmm. really,
mm-hmm.
right? And then there is night work. The night work is where you shut everybody off, you turn off Twitter, you wait till, I personally always let everybody go to sleep. Everybody goes to sleep in my house, and I work.
Right.
And so I call it night work. And this is where I'm really using the preparation, I'm leveraging that day work to make my night work successful.
So all
my files in order, I like all of the images that I need to look for. I've already looked for them. Like if you've ever done, I mean, I know you have, but like, you know, graphic design, especially marketing type of design,
mm-hmm.
Ads and things like that. Mm-hmm. The worst part about it is finding photography.
Yeah.
And it's not inspirational at all. Mm-hmm. You just like scroll through photography forever and it's just the worst. It sucks.
Yeah.
It just absolutely is the worst thing.
Yeah.
So like that kind of work, you know, like gaining, like just like adding all these things to the light box. Just don't worry about executing right now. You just add them all to the light box. And then in night work, you go, okay, I'm going to unplug my phone, turn it on. What is it called with the little moon?
Do not disturb.
Do not disturb mode. Mm-hmm. Turn off your Twitter, turn off your email, shut everything down. The only thing you have in front of you is your work.
Mm-hmm.
And by this, by doing this, you're creating an opportunity for the occurrence of creative flow to happen.
Mm. And is this what you do for Dev Tips? Your day work is you just get stuff together for your night work, which is Dev Tips. Is this all Dev Tips related?
No, this is not all Dev Tips related. I can do night work in the middle of the day at work.
Okay, night work is just a label then.
It's just a label.
Okay.
I just thought it was cool. And also there was this one DJ that taught me about it and he called it night work. I'm like, that is cool.
Because you mentioned this once and I interpreted it in a different
way. You did. What was your interpretation of day and night work?
My interpretation was, so I created three lists from that. It was today, tonight, and tomorrow, right? And during today, it wasn't preparation. It was do everything that has to do with your 9-to-5 job or my morning to midday
mm-hmm.
job
mm-hmm.
so that it's out of the way so that when I do my freelance work or anything that has to do with that, like logo work and such, which lives in tonight, mm-hmm. I don't have this mind space occupied by my day work. That's how I interpret it. I didn't interpret
You're separating your responsibilities.
The division of.
But what's the third list?
It's a division of responsibilities. I just put my finger up. I'll get to that.
Oh, you fingered me.
It's just to let everyone know who's listening. They can't see my finger.
They can't see your finger.
Right?
I can see your finger. Extremely rude.
It's extremely rude.
I barely know you.
And then in my night work, I have the first hour of my night work is to prepare for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to your point, I can't get in. It's harder for me to get in a creative flow because I'm doing the preparation, and then I have to switch my mm-hmm. mindset.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea of what I was going for. Yeah. Is you're relying on that preparation. You're doing your administrative work first. You're doing the tutorials first.
Right.
You know, and not just first, but separately.
Yeah.
I think that it can be a real strength if you separate them. And even if the only separation you have is like, you're going to go get a drink of water in between. I mean, yeah. If that's all you have, then that should be sufficient. But the point is like you're switching gears completely and you want to get out of the administrative, you want to get out of the organizational mode,
yeah,
and focus solely on executing. Yeah, right, you're going to do so much better because you've opened the box, the puzzle box. Mm-hmm. You've laid out the pieces. You've mapped everything. You understand it. Take a break. Now it's night work. It's just executing. Find get those puzzle pieces or connecting. You know your layers or. Whatever, you know what I mean? Like it's just execution.
Yeah, the key takeaway here is separate your type of work.
Yes.
Right? And then my third list to answer your question is anything that did not get done from the previous day pushes to tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then my tomorrow list is things that I want, are goals that I want to accomplish for tomorrow.
It's like a carryover list.
That's all cool. It is.
Now there's one more point under this. Rely on your preparation.
Mm-hmm.
This is like more of like just a weird little tip that I've picked up that I've kind of like really enjoyed mm-hmm. is that I leave my work half finished. When I'm done with my session,
mm-hmm.
I don't close Photoshop. I don't close my code editor.
Mm-hmm.
I leave it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, today I was coding and then, you know, it's time to catch the train. There's no way around it. I don't like close all my apps and I just put my computer to sleep exactly where I left it.
Mm.
So that way when I walk in the morning, I'm not going to look at a blank desktop and go, okay, what was I doing? Where's my task list manager? Mm. Open that. An email came in. What do they need?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do any of that. I can jump right into night work in the morning. You know what I mean? Cause I sit down and like, oh yeah, I needed to compile this thing. I needed to add this feature. I needed to do this. And I'm executing right away, right mm-hmm. when I walk in.
Mm-hmm.
So the tip is leave your work undone. It's completely okay. And leave it ready to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a painting, right? You don't pack up a painting. You leave it on the easel.
Yeah, you leave everything out in the open.
It's so easy to start when you have a cursor with half of your word written.
Yeah.
It's so easy just to finish the word instead of open the file and title the page.
Yeah, I've done that not as a conscious decision. I leave in a rush and I just close my laptop and bring it with me.
And what happens when you open it up?
I have to minimize and close everything because I use the same laptop for
work and night work. You want to do something else.
Yes, so I have to do something else.
That makes sense. All right, number three, get a ritual.
I high five on this one.
High five on this one.
Yeah.
Actually, this is kind of inspired by you. So remember that the question that we're attacking is what do you do when you're not inspired? So number three is get a ritual. So Woody Allen,
mm-hmm.
movie producer, mm-hmm. writer, director, actor, he famously said 80% of success is showing up.
Mm.
I like Woody Allen. Do you ever watch his movies?
I do.
He's good.
He's good.
He's funny. A ritual. Tell me about your rituals. Or one of them. I know you have a lot. I know you have a lot.
My rituals.
Actually, I wanted to... Instead of talking about your rituals, tell me about a token. Because I think that's such a great thing that we talked about last time.
Mm-hmm. So the token, to recap, if you didn't listen to the episode of Los Talks About Life and Junk.
Fantastic title, if I might say so myself.
Towards the end of the episode, I talk about a token, and this token could be anything. And for the purpose of this conversation, a token is a smooth rock, the ones that you can skip across a lake, right?
Okay.
A smooth pebble.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of this token is to help me with something that I am struggling with,
mm-hmm.
right? In this case, it could be that I make excuses more than I make things, right? And so I put this token in a place as a reminder of a commitment that I've made to myself, right? My better self, right? And I carry or keep this token with me so that anytime I see it or touch it or it comes into my consciousness, it's a reminder of a commitment I've made to myself, right? And so it's a tool to strengthen your weakness,
right? That's
cool. Yeah. And so,
so how that might play out is you have decided to project into this token the behavior of I work whether I'm inspired or not.
Mm-hmm.
You put this token ritualistically in a place where you can see it or in your pocket. You ritualistically touch it. I'm banking on rituals because mm-hmm. that's the point I'm mm-hmm. trying to make. And it strengthens you to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. There is this ritual that I go through before I do my night work.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's really difficult to start recording
mm-hmm.
for my show. But I find that if I can put my shoes on, because I take my shoes off when I come mm-hmm. to my house, I go down the stairs to record.
Right.
If I put my shoes on, the rest is going to happen.
What you're doing is you're creating triggers.
Yeah.
Right?
Go ahead.
And this is from... One
second. He's getting a book.
Yeah.
He's well read.
Here you go.
It's a great book. Actually, one of the things the next thing is from the, okay, cool.
It's I just grabbed the book. It's volume one from the 99U series.
Love it.
And the title is Manage Your Day to Day. Build your routine, find your focus, and sharpen your creative mind. And in this section where you talk about building your routine, what you're doing is you're creating emotional triggers that make it easy for you to do work, right?
So putting on my shoes is an emotional
trigger.
Putting
on your shoes is an emotional trigger.
Emotional. That's cool. Yeah. I was looking at it as like velocity. But no, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I put on my shoes because it makes me feel like this is what happens.
Yeah.
The next thing will follow.
Exactly. So my routine and my triggers when I get to work in the morning
mm-hmm.
is I go in through the side door, I hang my backpack up on a hook, I hang my jacket up on another hook, I unzip my backpack, I take my laptop out with two hands, I put it in my stand, plug everything in, take my phone out of my pocket, put it on the stand, plug my headphones in, and then I go get a water and some jerky if I'm hungry, and then I come back and I sit down and I start.
That seems very normal. Why is that a ritual for you?
But it's a ritual because I do it every day. If I don't do that...
What happens if you plug your phone in before you hang your backpack?
It's not... I mean, it breaks my ritual.
Your face is like, I don't understand what you're asking. You're like, what does that even mean?
One, I couldn't do that because I plug it into my laptop.
You're like, no, didn't you hear what I said? I hang my backpack up and then I take my laptop out. Travis, you're not even listening. But
yeah, so all of that is a ritual that has emotional triggers that I'm starting my day.
Absolutely. And I like the way that you're bringing in this idea of emotional triggers to the theme, the point of get a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we think about religion, when we think about... rituals that we have, the Pledge of Allegiance, mm-hmm. you know, these type of things that we have, these rituals, exercise, they're very emotional based, right? Like they're connected to us emotionally. I think rituals are a very strong part of people's identity, but also their emotional identity.
Yeah, another thing that rituals do is they become habit forming.
Mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're almost like sacred. This thing, I can't. It's higher than me. It's bigger than me. So I don't want to do it differently, and thereby you create that pattern, which eventually becomes a habit.
Right, and when it becomes a habit, it enters your subconscious, and you don't have to make a conscious decision to do this thing.
I like that as well. When it enters your subconscious, you have to put less energy into making that decision.
Yes.
You put less energy into even doing the work. You can just do it by rote, by automation.
Yep.
And lo and behold, all of a sudden you are in the mode of working, and it's all been automated for you.
Yep.
So, number three, get a ritual. Number four, harness the power of frequency.
Okay.
Whoa, frequency.
Frequency.
All right. So I have five points here of why frequency is going to help you to, and again, the major topic of the night is what do you do when you're not inspired? So here's why frequency will help you to get over that hump when you're not inspired.
I'm curious to see how you use the word frequency here.
Frequency means you're attacking this thing over and over. It's a habit. It's a thing you do. You do it a lot, all the time, every day.
And this is separate than a ritual?
It can be a ritual. I think of a ritual as how you do it, and frequency as how often.
Okay, I buy that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you buy it.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
What is that from? RoboCop, right?
Is it?
I'd buy that for a dollar. Yeah, I think that's RoboCop. I love that quote. It's so weird. It's like this fat guy like by all the girls, and
he's
falling down, and the dollar's coming out of his pockets. Anyway.
I was young.
Yeah, it's a weird movie. Have you ever seen RoboCop?
Yeah.
Not the ones recently with
the old
guy.
No, the old one. I haven't seen the new ones.
They're weird. The old ones are weird.
I remember liking it.
Because it's RoboCop. Who doesn't like robots and cops?
RoboCop.
I don't like cops, but I like robots.
Robots love cops.
I hate freaking cops. All right. Harness the power of frequency. So I'm defining frequency as how often you do the thing. Mm-hmm. So, number one, frequency makes starting easier.
Yes.
One of the biggest problems to doing good work is starting good work. Mm-hmm. You sit down at the blank page and it's so intimidating. I've written about this in my notes that the blank page can be a cause for a lot of people of anxiety. Mm-hmm. They sit down and they're like, okay, how do I even start this sentence? And that's one of the reasons why I leave work undone. When I come back to it, that anxiety is not even there. It's just like, oh, I need to finish what this other guy did. Mm-hmm. The other guy is me yesterday. Yeah. So frequency makes starting things easier. If you did it yesterday and the day before that, today is not a problem.
It's not.
Okay. Second one, frequency keeps your ideas fresh.
I'm thinking about that one. Frequency keeps your ideas fresh.
Mm-hmm. Because you're using that muscle. You're thinking in this way often enough. It's not uncomfortable for you to get into that mode. And you can attack those problems with fresh ideas.
Yeah. And
is that too much of a leap?
No, this is good because I'm thinking about it in the context of Pinger. And because I show up every day and I frequent with the team members and we have this one problem that lasts usually 2 or 3 months.
You're familiar with it.
Mm. And because I am frequenting that problem, frequenting how I solve that problem, I've come up with many ideas that are already bad, right? And so in frequenting this, I can cross those out and thus keeping my ideas fresh.
Get it. You've already gotten rid of the bad work. Now you can do good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
But that only happens when you're frequenting, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same with, and I'm talking specific to design right now.
Okay.
To early design iterations. And this is learned in school. A lot of other places teach this, that when you have an idea, if you're naming something or creating a logo, you create 50 to 150 different interpretations of that. Mm. You do that as fast as possible. Why? Mm-hmm. Because your first 25 are stale. They're the easiest things to think of, and when you get creative is past 25. It gets harder to be, it becomes harder to come up with new ideas.
Okay.
Right? And so.
So you're saying the first 25 are stale usually. They're just trite, they're obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then when you get past 25, they're more difficult. And you, how does the idea of frequency keeps ideas fresh work into what you're saying right now?
Oh, because, so the first 25, let's think of these as 100 days, right? The first 25 days,
okay,
it could feel like you're hitting a wall. You're hitting a wall.
Oh, that's not a good idea. Somebody's already thought of that.
Yeah.
Simpsons did it.
Right. And so when you go to from 26, and this is an arbitrary number, but yeah, when you hit 26 through 100, this is when your ideas are fresh. They're new. They're exciting. This is why you're getting paid.
Broken through the wall. Cool. Okay. Keeps ideas fresh. I really like what you've added to that. I felt like I was like, wait, why is they fresh? Why are they fresh? Okay. Frequency keeps the pressure off.
Versus on. What other options?
Obviously, right? I don't know. Thank you for adding that.
Yes, Travis. Versus on.
what you mean to say is it keeps it not on. Thank you for adding that to the conversation.
With my furled eyebrows.
Frequency keeps the pressure off. If you have a deadline coming up and you're working on this project and you're procrastinating, that pressure builds on you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been attacking the problem, even as we talked about in I think the first thing, break it down, even if you can do just a little bit each day, that pressure is released through those exercises, those first days, and you can keep it kind of the momentum is going, and also you don't have this heavy weight on it.
Yeah.
Keeps the pressure off. Hey, how's that going? Oh, I have process on it. I have progress on it. Mm-hmm. So frequency keeps the pressure off. What do you think about that?
I think it's true. And it's a true principle in many of the things that we do that's not work related. Jumping on a bike, jumping on a skateboard, starting to run. Like everything, there's a lot of pressure to start. But once you've started, it's easy to keep going.
Yeah. Momentum is key, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really like that. This last one, I think you covered it really well when we were talking about keeping ideas fresh, but frequency sparks creativity.
Okay.
It's in the same way that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You're visiting these ideas over and over again. You're moving past all of the obvious choices, mm-hmm. and you can become so familiar with these concepts and these problems because of frequency, because you're attacking this problem every day, that you can come up with innovative solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last one I have here is frequency nurtures frequency.
Whoa.
I'll blow your mind out. Whoa. Frequency nurtures frequency. People who are good at doing things every day do things every day.
That's true.
And the reason they're good at doing things every day
is because they do things every day.
See, we're on this wavelength right now. Oh, we don't even...
Super wave.
I can see it. It's a podcast, so everybody else can't see it, but there is definitely a wave.
But you can hear the waves.
You can hear the waves. Oh, man, there are sound waves, and the mic is picking them up. Frequency nurtures frequency.
Yeah.
If you attack... So if it's hard for you to do this thing every day, the more you are able to even try to do it every day, the more strength you will have to actually do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a good writer, we talked, by the way, your podcast last week kind of changed the way I work.
Really?
This past 2 weeks.
Okay, tell me about this.
Well, because we had this discussion,
right?
And I'm not sure if you read the note that I wrote like later that week. It was just about writing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I realized this is a huge tangent right now, right. But I realized how much of my work is writing. And I used to kind of like, before this conversation, I kind of thought of writing as like a throwaway exercise, something that I needed to do before I got tangible results.
Right.
I need to write to get a script so I can record the script.
Right.
I need to write this email so I can get a response so I can do the work, right. You know? But like now I'm thinking of it like, no, the writing is...
It's key.
Is the key, right? If I start wrong, I'll certainly end wrong.
Yeah. It's the keystone.
I like it. So anyway, that episode that you instigated last week has been really, really interesting to me, and I've been thinking about it a lot, and I really appreciate the preparation, the 10 minutes that you put into it. Yeah. I really appreciate your insights on the topic. It's really been great for me, so yeah. I appreciate that. Where were we going? Talking about writing. Oh, if you want to be a writer, we talked about this last time.
Right.
If you want to write, that's different than being a writer. If you want to be a writer, you have to have frequency. And doing it every day will enable you to actually do it every day. If it's hard to do it every day, that's because you're not doing it every day.
Yeah.
It gets easier.
It does get easier. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to, I design every day.
Yes.
And it's Brittany asks me, how was work? You know, was it busy? I was like, yeah, it was busy.
Yeah.
She's like, Do you still like it? You know,
do you still like it?
You don't give me, you know, like, because I don't give her much. I'm like, yeah, meh.
Yeah, that's right? I've kind of noticed that as well with my wife, that over the years, I get less and less descriptive about what's going on. and she went through a period where she was like, you're not complaining about anything. And are you doing okay? And you just like checked out completely. And I'm like, no, I'm very much checked in.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it so much that I don't have anything to report. Yeah. And it's weird because like people will ask me, hey, Trav, what's going on? What's up lately? And like in my mind, I'm like, there is a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like so much is happening. And like I'm cycling through all these things. And I'm like, but to you, like regular Joe Brown, nothing. Nothing. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how that relates to what you were going to say.
No, because I design every day.
Yeah.
The hurdle to design is fine.
Yeah.
Right. It's easy. Designing is easy. Using the tools is easy. The hard part is solving the problems, not designing.
I think I understand.
And, moving my vector tools and knowing my keyboard shortcuts.
Oh, yes.
And how to use mask and how to use a pathfinder. And
The technical,
because I do it every day, that's easy. Mm-hmm. And that has entered my subconscious. So I can focus on solving problems.
I was noticing, because I was recording some Photoshop things, because I'm trying to do this design video for my channel. And I kept on calling the tools not their names. I was like, I'm going to use the U tool, and it's like the shape tool, but you press the letter U to use it. And I'm like, and then I'm going to press the A tool, and like I don't even know what this thing is called. Like it's so funny. Like I've been, and somebody asked me today in the Dev Tips chat, which is a new thing we did today. I don't need to talk about it, but somebody asked me today, how do you get good at Photoshop? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah,
I've been using it for 16 years. Yeah. I had to count it. 16 years.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's half my life.
I know how to get good at Photoshop.
How?
Or any software.
I have no tips for this. We talked about this when I walked in today.
Yeah.
I have no tips. I don't know how to get good at Photoshop.
Yeah. So we were asked by, this is a podcast listener.
Oh, yeah. Let's do a segue before number five. I still have another point.
Okay, cool. This is a podcast listener as well as the chat thing that you're doing. But it's at Alexander H. Black.
He is an active guy.
He is an active guy.
Yeah.
And he asked me, you know, do I need to learn Photoshop?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I told him no. But I told him to learn Sketch instead. Right?
Yeah, you would. You would. Los is a Sketch fan.
I'm a Sketch fan.
I think it's for babies.
Travis is a Photoshop fan. But to your point, I know how to learn software fast. And a key unfair advantage that I have to others is, and this may be common knowledge to some of you, but it was news to me when I figured it out and it's helped me along the way, is pick a software you want to learn. In this case, it's Photoshop. Go to the internet and find as many free source files, free PSD source files. Grab them, look at the layers panel and deconstruct it and understand why these designers have constructed their source file as such.
That's a great point. Yeah. I learned a lot of things from that. You're like, oh, the free PSD of the day.
Yeah.
You download it and you're like, oh, that's how he does that?
Yeah.
Because I've been doing it not like that at all the whole time. And actually, that's a really good point. I released a video about frameworks recently.
Okay.
And the conversation has just been really dynamic. Mm-hmm. People have very strong opinions about using frameworks.
Right.
And one of the things that surfaced that I hadn't considered yet is that frameworks are a fantastic learning tool. Mm-hmm. When people are able to take the time and open up the code that's behind their framework mm-hmm. and understand how and why the framework author used that tool and mm-hmm. made that decision. I mean, similar to what you're saying, I mm-hmm. guess I'm just repeating you, but yeah, you can learn so much from people who are producing and publishing.
So boiling this down to the main tip here is a good friend of mine, and you know him too, his name is Mike Dunn. And I was learning code early on, and I was showing him my code, and I was like, hey, can you review this with me? And as we were reviewing, he's like, do you know why you did that? Do you know why you wrote, you know, the doc type HTML?
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, I don't know. Everyone else does it. And he said, know the why behind every letter you type when coding.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And that's what we're
going same thing with like visual software, right? Yeah. Like, why did I make a layer mask? What did that do? Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And so when you're
why did I use a shape versus a selection?
Yes. So when you're deconstructing a Photoshop file or anything else, know the reason why the said designer did it the way that he or she did.
Perfect. Perfect advice. So let me go on to number 5. And this is going back to the podcast topic of what do you do when you are not inspired? And this last one is more of a maintenance thing instead of a trick or a tip to get you in the work mode at the moment.
Okay.
But this is like overall throughout your life, throughout the entire lifespan of each project individually, even throughout when you're scheduling yourself. The idea is to prune the branches.
Okay.
So consider a vine with fruit. Vine keepers, tenders, I don't know what they're called. People who keep vines.
Viners.
They know that you have to prune new branches when they sprout. And you would think, okay, my goal is to grow fruit to sell at the market.
So why am I going to cut the new stuff that's growing?
Exactly right. Well, here's the key. The new branches will actually take nutrients from existing branches.
Yes.
And over time, the branches will steal resources from the initial branches. Eventually, the entire vine will succumb to systemic mediocrity.
Systemic mediocrity. Everything is just mediocre.
Because the resources are spread so thin between all these different vines that no particular vine is producing exceptional fruit.
Oh, that explains my garden.
You need to trim that stuff up.
I didn't trim anything.
Yeah.
I just let it grow and it was just like, mediocre fruit.
Do you have mediocre fruit?
Mediocre veggies.
That's interesting.
I need to
learn. I find that a lot. I mean, personally, I try to find new ways to enhance the experience of people who are interested in DevTips all the time.
Mm.
Even this podcast is an example of that. I'm like, okay, people are paying attention to DevTips. I could offer more.
Right.
So I talk to you. You want to do a podcast? Let's do a podcast. I think there's something more that we can provide.
Yeah.
And that's a great, like, how great is that? That's wonderful to the people who are interested in it.
Yeah.
Similar to my notes, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is that each of these things are tapping me.
Right.
They're tapping me for my ideas, for my freshness, for my strength, for my resilience, for my energy. And now I get a lot less sleep than I used to.
Right.
My relationships suffer.
Right.
And I'm being honest, they do.
Yeah.
And I have to focus on... as the words are coming out of my mouth, I'm realizing things.
Right.
I am noticing that I put a lot more effort into my relationship with my wife than I did 6 months ago. Like a lot.
Now you're putting in more.
Right now. Yeah. I'd put a lot of effort into her. She's very happy right now.
Yeah.
It's been good. And I'm noticing that that is a response to me having less time for her. Because every night I'm writing or recording or editing or over here. And I have to make sure, right? So I have to prune other relationships. Like we were talking about when we opened this podcast,
right.
You're like, oh, where's Travis? Oh, he misses you. No, he doesn't. I'm pruning relationships. I talk to people a lot less than I used to, just like casual friends.
Right.
And I'm taking that energy from those casual relationships and putting them into my essential relationships. Mm-hmm. People like you, people like my wife, my kids, other people that, like my colleagues and mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. I'm just realizing this right now. I don't have like a point or a grand kind of principle that I'm teaching. I'm like, oh, that is interesting.
No, it's cool that you've pruned not knowing that you were going to talk about this.
Yes.
Right.
And so no, actually, I was going to talk about this not knowing that I have pruned.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really interesting. And I'm looking at pruning. When I was writing this, I was like, pruning is like definitely about your projects, right?
Yeah.
So like, don't take on too much.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, cut everything that is not essential.
Bro, you ready for this? This is a big realization.
Drop it.
We're talking about pruning, right? Mm. And how you thought about delivering the message, right?
Uh-huh.
About 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I set a schedule for myself from the morning I wake up to the moment I fall asleep.
Yes.
Right? And this was to build a routine, to build a ritual so that my day becomes a habit.
Now, right? We talked about this during the episode, Los talks about your life in junk.
Yeah.
But that episode was like 2.5 hours long.
Right.
And I cut this part.
Oh, you cut this
part. I did cut
it. Okay. And so I created this so that in the height of my emotional excitement, right,
mm-hmm.
I subscribed to this schedule that I set up.
Right.
Right.
Emotions were high. You're able to make a commitment.
And I made this commitment, right? And I commit to this every day. And so it's become easier over time.
You've been successful?
I've been successful.
Because I know it was a very strict commitment.
I've been successful.
And I know that you love rules.
I love rules. It's easier for me to exist in a world where rules define what I need to do. God. So I've created the rules for myself, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't like rules that other people impose on me, but I love rules that I impose on myself.
I'll allow it.
Okay. And the point that I'm getting to is, when you've done everything that we've talked about in this podcast, it makes it so it becomes easier for you to say no. And you saying no to things that come in your life is pruning.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Getting rid of the non-essentials. And the way you've set up your schedule is not only to get rid of non-essentials, but guard yourself against non-essentials coming in.
Yes. This is good.
This is good. We're both nodding our heads. Yeah. I like it. I think we'll end it here.
All right.
Do you want to tell everybody how they can get a hold of us or support the show?
Yes. You can get a hold of us on Twitter, on our Twitter handle, at Trav and Los. You can also find us on iTunes Podcast. You can also find us on our website, travandlos.com. At the bottom of that page, you will find our individual Twitters if you want to contact us that way.
Right. Hey, so speaking of the podcast.
Okay.
Application, right, okay. On iTunes. You can leave reviews. Did you talk about that? I wasn't listening
to
you.
No, I haven't talked about reviews.
You can. I was like looking at my phone, wasn't listening to you.
Yep.
Not respecting you at all.
That's the last part, is reviews.
You can leave reviews. And we really appreciate them. Somebody left a 4. Did I tell you that? Oh, that was Eric.
That was Eric.
You son of a... Okay. We have some new reviews, though. I think 2. Maybe 1. Let me read this one. This one's from Tyler. The title of this one is Random, But Awesome.
Oh, this is new.
Have you read this one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, cool. So I'm reading it to you. Los and Trav. Hey! It's Trav and Los! What's going on?
He must have listened to the better podcast.
He must have listened to your...
He was on a better route.
Is it odds or evens? Son of a bee. All right. Los and Trav seem like genuinely good dudes who have nice facial hair. Dude, did I tell you about my mustache? It's the worst. My mustache is the worst.
Tell me more.
Well, I'm in the middle of a quote.
Okay.
Don't distract me.
Okay.
Don't let their tangents deter you. That's the next sentence of this review. We're about to go into tangent in the middle of his review. No, F it. Let's do it. Okay, so my mustache is, in the last video, or last episode of this podcast, I talked about my process of gaining a mustache.
Yes.
I swindled my daughter.
Gaining, swindling, and convincing.
And convincing. Oh, man. It was a plan. And I hatched it, and it was a heist. It was a mustache heist. Like there was like dun 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 dun, dun music like involved and like plans. Anyway, so
your mustache is the worst.
My mustache is the worst. Now it's really funny. I'm getting a lot of not hate but certainly a lot of pushback on my channel. I released a video yesterday. Not yesterday. This week, maybe Monday. Yeah, Monday. I don't know. I released a video and like half of the comments were like, dude, you need to get rid of that. And it was so funny because people would be like, it was a really like thought provoking episode. Right. One of like, so like the comments are very long.
Right.
Generally like, the average comment is like maybe like 18 lines.
Okay.
Very long comments. Mm. But most of them start with, what's up with your face? Like, that mustache is horrible. Like, and it's just like, it's like a lot of like pushback. And it's interesting to me that people will try to control my face and what's happening on it. And I was telling, on the live episode, I was telling the people right before, like it was after we cut off.
Yeah.
After the live episode ends, the chat room is still going.
Right.
And you can talk and chat after you're broadcasting. And they're like, so Travis, what's the deal? And like, they wanted to have like an intervention.
Intervention.
They're like, Travis, we need to talk. We're concerned about you. We appreciate what you do with DevTips, but that face. That face. Something's wrong.
It needs fixing.
Yeah. And it's funny. The way I look at it. And I was walking around today.
You don't
today.
Look at it.
Certainly, I don't look
at
it.
The way you don't look at it.
Not nearly. Oh my gosh, I just looked at it in the reflection of my iPad. It's pretty bad. I catch myself unawares, and I laugh. It's funny. I think that this mustache is ridiculous and funny. I think it's a joke on everybody who has to look at it. Sometimes, I imagine that it's a middle finger. And that everybody... Everybody's just getting a big old FU from my mustache at every moment of the day. And I was walking around today and I was like, I was thinking about how I wear my mustache ironically. Mm-hmm. And then because it's so ridiculous. And then I thought, you know what? Maybe it's not ironic because I am genuinely ridiculous and I do not give a crap. So, because I've had this much, what has it like been 3 weeks now? Yeah, it's nearly a month rocking this ridiculous, stupid face. But it's like, it's fun because I get these like ridiculous reactions from people.
That's great.
The face hate.
Face hate.
The bullying has become unbearable. I'm going to start an anti-bullying campaign on DevTips.
Stop it. Stop the bullying.
Stop it. It's not in like a black and white scene. And I'm like, I used to have a good face. People.
Please do that.
Okay, so I'll finish this comment. Don't let their tangents deter you. Are you reading it too?
I'm reading
Don't
alone.
Finish. Oh, I'm you're reading alone. Okay.
This is from Tyler Volek, right?
Yes, Tyler.
That's the name on there.
What? I didn't want to mispronounce the last name. How do you pronounce his last name?
I just said Volek.
Volek. Yeah, I'll accept that. Okay. There are some nuggets in there. Mustache nuggets. Excited to see how this podcast plays out and the good that will flow from it. Thank you, Tyler. That's
five
a really awesome. Yeah, he gave us 5 stars. Did you read Joey's yet?
No.
Can you read that one?
Joey. Five
this stars. Is from Joey, who's like kind of, I would consider him a super fan. Yeah. He tweets us all the time. He like knows the inside jokes. He's the one that keeps on bringing up corn dogs and stuff. It's just really funny. He's a good guy. I've talked to him on the I did a mentorship a mentorship session with him. Really good guy.
So,
how many stars?
The title, Corn Dogs for Everyone.
Oh! Yeah, so the inside jokes.
Title. I already said that.
You did.
Stars, 5.
5 stars.
Joey says, I thought I was prepared to listen to this podcast. When I played the first podcast, I immediately found myself in a room of friends, but virtually through my ear holes.
Sorry. Ow, that hurt. That laugh hurt my rib holes.
My rib holes. These guys talk real and have a good time doing it, giving sound advice, useful guidance, share personal stories, and while having fun making jokes. Keep up the great work. Y'all deserve corn dogs of life.
Corn dogs of life?
Maybe he meant for life. But of life.
Does it say of?
It says of.
I like the idea of a corn dog of life. It's like the fountain of youth or something. It's like the corn dog of life, and you have to like trench through the Amazon, hidden rainforest to like find it, and it's like you push back the brush, and it's like this like ancient temple, and at the top is this floating golden corn dog just rotating in the air, and you're like, the corn dog of life.
This needs to be illustrated. Corn dog of life made into a poster.
The corn dog of life.
There's a PS. PS.
Oh, really? Okay, there's more.
Should totally have some.
Hold on, I can't breathe. Hold on, let me catch my corn dog alive. Okay, so what was the PS?
Should totally have some kind of donation place to help get equipment. Second better mic would be good. Sounds like one mic is nice and clear, but the second, not so much. Peace and corn dog grease.
Which one?
You think
it's mine?
I think it's yours because yours sounds better now.
Wait, mine is the worst one or the better one?
I think it was the worst one.
Oh, do you think he was talking before? No, that's not true because we shared a mic for the first few.
We shared a mic for the first few and then we got two mics. And I think it could have just been that the levels are lower on yours.
Don't sugarcoat it. Whatever, Joey.
So if
corn dog of life,
if you enjoy the corn dogs of life on this podcast, please leave a review. It helps others that are browsing through, and it helps with I think just search engine optimization, and it probably does some other things algorithmically.
Search engine optimization.
Sorry, PSO, podcast search optimization.
Wow, is that a thing?
That's a thing because ASO is a thing.
What's ASO?
App Store Optimization.
Hmm.
It's a thing.
I'm learning every day. All right. Thanks, everyone.